This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court.
We
are your supreme crit justices, Murphy, Axford, and Tanner, and of course the lowly.
Only one.
Lowly.
What is fine? Two.
Lowly.
Pathetic. Weak.
The weak bailiff, Jake. It's one of those. It's one of those months.
Yeah. A little flaky too. I don't know what's going on with your hair this month, man.
Whoa, flaky like that, like dandruff.
Wow.
Whoa.
Both. Yeah.
Yeah, it's snowing. You know, December holidays.
And with that, we will throw to our bailiff.
Hear ye! Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner presiding. Mm.
Hi.
Shall we?
Hello. Charmed.
Yes. Everyone in the courthouse is everyone rises for the judge. They walk in and then they sit down and say hi.
Everyone hits you with a meek hey.
Yeah.
Hey. Thank you
just
for coming.
Just a judge being like, hey, everybody. Hello. Hi.
Just putting a face to a name. Hey.
What's good?
Hey. Hi.
Okay. Our first case comes from Carly C. Carly writes, to the chummy judges and brandied bailiff. Yes, I did just listen to the Oh, Mr. Toad episode.
Oh, I like Mr. Toad.
Chummy and brandy.
Mr. Toad, you dog.
Cozy adjectives.
I was ready to hate on Jake, but now I'm just picturing him as like a little stoat wearing like a bailiff's outfit, and it's very cute. Ooh.
I'm picturing him wasted, right? That's what brandied would be, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Just like very red in the cheeks and nose.
A drunk frog.
Yeah.
Mr. Toad and his pals get wild in that little library, in that little parlor.
They drink too much.
I feel like they're doing it right.
No, just a freaking bachelor's
hanging out having brandy in the library.
Okay, I present the case of the actual direct messenger. I play in an online game, and my DM recently discovered AI-generated dungeon masters.
Oh, what? My goodness. Okay, I have to say right off the bat, my friend started off my new year by sending me the thing he had an AI write about a space-time worm, and it was beautiful. I fully believe AI is amazing.
A space-time worm?
A space-time wormhole?
Yeah. Space-time worm. It was an inside joke.
Okay.
You can't just drop this stuff.
But I'm saying the AI wrote beautifully. I'm beside myself.
I got to take the Miyazaki stance on this one. It's a disgrace to humanity. How dare you? You should be ashamed. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go on, Jake. Forgive me.
We actually had an AI write a Jake and Amir episode like a few weeks ago, and it was better than half of the ones that
really?
He wrote.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so anyway, which he has begun using for our own games, generating and then using as a script. I don't mind the setups, but he enjoys it so much that he'll have us wait after rolls while he generates what happens next. He's even, a few times now, direct messaged us content he generated for our PCs to say.
Okay, no. I was actually really with this person's wild spirit until that moment.
I've raised concerns over the decisions in the past, i.e. splitting my character in two to make me play a baddie and myself, which is a case for another day, and have been shut down all around as everyone has been friends for and played together even longer. But am I wrong to feel like this isn't genuine play anymore?
You just have another collaborator at the table?
Yeah, but have you ever met this person in real life? Is there a chance that they are either an AI themselves or a corporation trying to further their AI agenda?
No!
It's happening. They're out there.
Wow.
It's true. After every session, they're like, hey, could everybody just like, I don't know, just generate 2 to 3 sentences of like stream of consciousness dialogue?
Okay,
can we just chat for an hour and you just say all the stuff that humans say?
Can we talk about the implications though? If we can do AI DMs, truly
make a better podcast than us.
Ever DM ever again. Think of all the people who are like, oh man, I want to play, but we don't have a DM.
Yeah.
Bam, AI.
Boom.
If we were to come out with like Murphbot,
And you could just, like, hey, a robot to... could never come up with Pender Greens ever. Okay.
Yeah, okay, I actually do believe that.
Years you of being a shithead.
An AI could maybe write Pender Greens now.
Mm-hmm. I think that an AI Murphbot would do a very bad job creating a campaign from scratch with just uh-huh. all of our stuff, but could do campaign one, part two, yeah. probably really good.
Yeah, probably. So, okay, to coming back to the thing, I actually am not opposed to this person loving the AI aspect, considering mm-hmm. the fact that there is a feeling of a roll of a dice, right? So yeah. the DM is getting a chance to feel that. However, not okay to be telling you guys.
Yeah, that's the crazy part to me.
Yeah,
also, that's insane.
Doesn't it kind of defeat the purpose of having a robo DM to have like a robo DM handler? Isn't that person then just the DM?
This is fun for like a one shot. I would get into this like an AI generated one shot. I'm like, oh yeah, awesome. Let's do it.
When I read this AI generated story that my friend sent me, I had the feeling that I was like, maybe the future could be I could be an editor for like an AI.
Why
right?
Do
like,
you want to be a robot's assistant? Dream bigger, Emily.
Look, I know that it's their world and we think we're in charge right now.
We know whose side you're on.
I'm on your side. Robots, I know you're listening.
Just picturing like the Skynet factory.
Don't
and
come
then, like,
for me or my cat.
Just a like T-1000 walks out of it and just picks up their DM screen and starts walking off into the sunset.
I love the idea of a robo DM that's just kind of shy and makes bad choices. Okay, so
Carly,
you are in the bar.
Carly C, if you can find out like what AI they're getting this dungeon from, uh-huh. please share it, because I would love to play with this tool and possibly do my own AI one shot. And will I be making my character say AI prompts? Yes, but only because it's so bad it's funny.
I wonder
and they should
how
not
never
be
replace
doing
me.
That to you.
Jake, you've worked with the AI stuff. How long does it take? Is it just like a quick thing?
It took like a few seconds to come up with the Jake and Amir script. But that's how long it took me and Amir to write the two.
I can see what Murph is saying, right? So like this person isn't even going through what the AI generated. Like, do we want to go forward with this?
Right.
There is no oversight. They're just like being like, cool, I'm just reading this without having read
right.
it.
Right. It's not even so much a robot handler as a robot friend at that point.
And they do make the DM does make everyone refer to the robot as the friend.
Right.
Friend Jeremy has a fun idea.
This has blown my mind, and I cannot wait to go like to find this tool.
You're going to become this DM. We're going to have to write into our own show about you being a robot assistant.
Does anyone think Emily has been acting a little weird the past two episodes?
I'm like, oh yeah, I've fully outsourced Calliope to an AI.
Calliope would like to use her smite for maximum damage. Calliope rolls with advantage because she is a mounted combatant.
Calliope smites and cries.
Smites. She cries. Where is Glenn? Where is Glenn?
I've been so sidetracked by how delighted I am by this unexpected
thing. I
do think I can totally understand your frustration.
Yes.
I can understand why the DM is having fun with it, but I definitely think that they should not be giving you lines to say.
Yeah. It feels like a different game in kind of a fun way.
Aside
from if we take aside this one completely insane thing, which is to direct message people and say the robot wants you to say this, which is so crazy. It's just cult of robots trying
to
like
wants you to
the
say
robot
this.
Wants you to say this. That's absurd.
I like that the robot is a railroad DM.
Yeah. Just like, guys, could we stay on the tracks here? Please. Just so nervous. Guys, I prepped a whole set.
Can everyone Venmo me for snacks?
Look for the crystals. I put crystals in here. Stop talking to the bartender. No. I don't have a voice.
Everyone in this bar is a goblin named Dork.
Stop talking to Dork, please.
I have to come out against AI because, like, the AI art movement sucks.
It's really?
It really sucks.
I've only just had like my first exposure with this little short story.
Because it takes and it learns from like actual artists.
Yeah.
And then those artists don't get paid because then people just make their art.
Yeah. That's fair.
But yeah. as a tool that is like approved by the people that have like allowed input and access, I think it can be useful. But again, I think this is a tool that you are running like before the session. It's like pre-rolling damage for like a bigger monster. Like you do your prep. This should be part of your prep not part of your process.
It feels like if you ever played any of those, Call of Cthulhu is an actual TTRPG, but there is like a Cthulhu. What is the game that like actually has like a video screen that almost has like a video DM? I don't remember.
Oh, you mean like a MUD or something like that?
No, it's like, I don't know. There are games like this that are essentially RPGs where you have a video DM essentially that says what's going on, and based on your choices, different things happen. That's cool. It's almost a separate game from D&D, and I think that's fun. I think if you guys are all on board with Robo DM and you guys just go into it knowing that it's going to be ridiculous and that it's going to be just like cold and unfeeling.
You could maybe kind of approach your DM if it was feeling like it was infringing upon your character story beyond the obvious weird thing of telling you lines to say. Yeah. If you were feeling like, this is feeling like we aren't going in a direction because we're just kind of following this weird robot. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair to maybe privately bring up with your DM to be like, hey, I know that you're loving the AI aspect, but I kind of like want to do some things with my character. So can we make sure that we incorporate that alongside the robot's voice and vision?
You got hoodwinked on this, though. You got bait and switched. This person's playing a regular game, and now it's an AI game. I think you can enter into an AI game and you know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
But you can't just like, the AI is infiltrating the actual game.
I do think you need to ask your DM if they can divide by zero, because if they proceed to give you like a string of like nonsensical numbers and letters after that, you will know that they are an AI and you've been led along this whole time.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I do love the conspiracy theory aspect. Jake, can I ask you just because this is so delightful, what was your experience like working with an AI, seeing your voice written by an AI? Did it feel invasive? Did it feel collaborative? Did you feel more tender towards robots after you read it?
I was really delighted and impressed, and then a little scared.
Yeah.
I was like, this is crazy. How did it like, it knows what a joke is.
It read fucking 400 of your scripts. It's you. It ate all of your hard work, and it shat it out into something shallow and repetitive, Jake.
That's what it was all along, man.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm like, I'm not precious enough about myself or the stuff I do. I'm like, have at it, AI.
I think you need to go over to your DM's house and pour water on their computer.
Wow.
Oh, right. We're sentencing. Okay, right. So we're definitely siding against this DM.
The biggest thing that I think we can't abide is the telling you what to say.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The line.
I wouldn't stand for that. I would say that like that's not cool. I think if any part of you likes this robo DM thing, if any part of you think this is fun, I think you could go into this thinking this is not regular D&D. This is a fun experiment we're doing. And as long as you're not being told what to say, it could still be fun. But if you're not into that, I would just talk to the DM.
Yeah, and I also think it's fine to have like a private conversation where you kind of say like, can we do a little more in-person collaboration with a little bit of AI for you, a little bit of in-person collaboration for me. Both are fun.
I mean, Emma's got the right of it. This is a fun novelty that I would love to play a mix.
Yeah, it's just like it's a fun separate game.
Yeah,
but I think we're all going to rule in your favor.
Yeah.
And against the robo DM, unfortunately.
Uh-huh. You need to lower your DM's computer into hot molten magma.
Ooh.
Yes.
Do you want to make an enemy of the AI, dude? I abstain.
I agree.
Cowards.
I abstain. The robots are great and awesome, and I will never, ever profane them.
Honestly, when they take over the world, Emily and I want to assist them.
It's
going to be me and Murph in a cave playing D&D.
I see the sea change, and I'm trying to make sure I'm still employable.
Halt. How dare you play flesh D&D?
No.
Stop. I'll roll the dice with my fingers until you pry them from my bloody hands, you damn freak, you damn toaster.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. So Jake and I abstain.
Yeah.
And you have to throw the DM.
Well, Caldwell and I now have enough votes to vote against the robo DM.
And now the robots are hunting my daughter.
Lowering robo DM.
No!
into the lava.
The robot is going to give a nice thumbs up, and it's going to toss one last D20. Yeah. And we'll see what it comes up as.
And then we'll bring back nervous railroader robo DM.
Please do not open that door.
Why? Yeah, I go in, I look around. Oh, what's in the room?
You know what? That is a way to nerf AI, is mm-hmm. just program in a sense of shame.
Yeah, we should take all the everyone who submitted bad DMs. We should have them just chat with the robo DM for a really long time.
Well, I think that they learn how to question their instincts and decisions.
Yeah, we have to like hinder them in some way. Like, I think we could train a Murph bot, but we would also need to like pour Mountain Dew on the server so that it would like be, you know,
be so rad.
Exactly. Yeah.
What was it? Who was the guy who played the badass character who then took over DMing Turok?
Yeah, Turok! Turok.
We should have a Turok bot. It's like, you see Turok, he's looking more badass than ever.
I really can't get over this. This has this really made my new year. No one's in the bar. C, thank you for introducing this to my life.
You see a cool wizard outside that you want to talk to.
Everyone is named Turok.
Everyone
this,
is named
I'm
Turok.
Out.
Turok flexes his pecs somewhere. A dragon orgasms.
All right. Let's
okay.
Let's move on. Yeah. So ordered.
Absolutely so ordered. Jacob SW writes, "Dear Supreme Crit Justices and the bailiff we all need but don't deserve."
Aw, that's really sweet. Did an AI write that? That was beautiful.
Must. I think everything here is generated by an AI. I didn't have time to collect cases this morning. So yeah, I just
anyone who's nice to Jake is a bot. Confirmed. They love it when he feeds them Jake and Amir's scripts.
Feed me more
jokes.
Oh my
gosh, you're so right. You have a leg up. I need to start feeding them my content.
Yeah, I give my computer treats every day.
You just put it right into the USB.
For my new players, I run the Princes of Apocalypse module campaign.
Oh,
for the
fun.
Current group, I thought it would be fun to bring back some of the previous group's PCs and let them play as the different faction leaders, as the time was now 75 years later since when they played. One cameo was Para, a human fighter who had an obsession with a homebrew mirror shield he had obtained during the campaign.
Whoa.
Para approached me. Yeah, it sounds so sick.
Yeah, definitely.
Para approached me before his cameo and said he wanted to have Para die during his cameo, as he was now 90 and a battlefield death was better than old age. So during a fight, as flavor, I used power word kill as a beam being sent at a different PC, letting Para jump in front and take the shot after a successful dice roll. In describing the scene, I said, "And as you have done so many times, you aim to block the spell with your shield, and at first all seems well, but then you hear a crack and shatter as your shield gives out and the beam hits you in the chest. Para sat in silence for a moment and then yelled, 'My shield! I said kill me, not destroy my shield!' And was upset for the rest of the session and for a time afterwards. So I ask, did I go too far in flavoring a hero's death? Or was I in the right since Para's death had already been predetermined? I'm at your mercy and humbly accept any punishment given."
I'm theory crafting this episode. This person, this player, wanted their other PC to get that shield.
That's what I was, I just was going to say the same thing. Like, they're like, wouldn't it be fun if, like, we follow the shield?
Yeah. So nefarious.
That has to be correct.
Wow.
So it. The beloved shield.
That's such, like, a breaking of the DM to player bond to, like, secretly craft something like that to, like, I want to have my character have a badass.
And then going, shout.
Then dare shout. I said to
what?
Kill my character.
No, Saul gets Beverly's sword.
Yeah. And then the rest of the players are like, wait, what? You asked him to kill you?
Yeah. Because that's totally like something that could happen in like a show like ours or something, yeah, where it's like in campaign one, it's like, I no promises. I have no idea what we're going to do with like the band of boobs. So... But I would talk to all of you privately to be like, over the past 200 years, what do you guys think have happened to your characters? And just imagining a situation.
Moonshine's tits got bigger.
Yeah. And great. Beverly acquired a lot of like really cool magic items that he's not very precious about and would give them to anyone he saw.
Oh, yeah. I have a shit ton of magic items in my even bigger tank.
Beverly has a tank?
You said my tits would get bigger, but they're not big enough.
Moonshine, you go to block the beam with your huge tits.
Your tits shatter.
Not my tits! No.
I said kill Moshe, not her tits.
Fucking not my tits. Not my tits.
Oh my God. You guys are absolutely right. They thought they could just like pick up the mirror shield. Being such like, man, I have never understood this, but that's just how some people play D&D is yeah. they play it in a very video gamey way where they're just like, give me all the loot. I want all the loot. To be so distracted by a cool item being destroyed that you miss your character's heroic death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. After you've already completed the campaign with them and this character is 90 years old. You've been with them for a long time. Yeah. And to sit there and be like, the shield.
But the shield. I mourn the shield. Maybe if I were the DM, I would have been a coward and been like, but actually you look at, give me an investigation. I rolled a 10. You realize you can put it back together.
Yeah. I would imagine if the player had not, had a tantrum that the DM might have allowed something like that.
Yeah, it could be repaired or something.
Breaking a shield, you could still just like pick up the pieces or something like that. But man, the double whammy of definitely trying to steal
me, not the shield.
The double whammy of trying to steal the shield and just saying you had a conversation.
This isn't what we discussed.
Yes, exactly.
It's so sad because that DM was probably riding a high of like, this is such cool collaborative storytelling. Awesome. I'm glad we got together before to make this even more epic than it could have been.
Yeah. I think you did awesome. Especially like, I feel like that's where my instinct would have been too, is like, here, you're dying, but like, you're this warrior who wants to die on the battlefield. Like, you're even your weapons like get destroyed by this. Like, this is truly your heroic, sacrificial end. Mm-hmm. So I think you were doing everything right.
This wasn't part of the deal. So just like a cowardly minion just the second bad guy that's not like
the shield was a part of the deal.
It's the dialogue of the guy who's like not magical, who's just like the businessman guy who's just like, wait, I brought in a necromancer to bring up profits, not to eat people's souls. This wasn't part of the deal.
How dare you?
And then just like unceremoniously murdered.
What about my bank account?
But the cash, we could have had
that's
cash.
Really funny to try to leave money for your next PC.
Yeah.
We want you to have this, just like a gift card.
Hey, you guys did that in campaign one with, I think, Apple Scrumper, where you guys...
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, Scrumper stole it from us.
Oh, she did do it to you, but you guys were also... I don't remember who it was. It might have been Scrumper, who just, like, she, like, gave you her bracers or something like that.
Did she? Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
Beverly did hide iTunes gift cards throughout all of Bohemia for people to find. Yeah.
Holy shit. Holy shit.
iTunes is still huge in Boom. All these years later.
We haven't come across that in campaign 3 yet, but I'm sure that we will.
Yeah. But it's going to be pretty
SkyTunes, because they work
SkyTunes. That's great.
CGI Sky Days. SkyTunes. Okay, so we need to sentence the mirror shield.
Okay. You don't get mirrors in your house anymore.
Whoa.
You can never look at yourself ever again.
Holy crap.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah, not even in like the reflection of a lake. Yeah. You got to go to murky ponds now.
Yeah, murky ponds.
Yeah, you're a vampire now. Sorry.
You're just going to have to ask people if you have shit in your teeth.
Yeah.
And when you try to look at your reflection, it's like when you try to look at a clock in a dream and it's like all blurry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Isn't that like what happens in The Ring too? They stop being able to see their face when they look in the mirror and like...
Oh,
I think it's all blurred,
That just gave me goose pimples. Yeah. I've never seen The Ring.
It's good. There's a scary wet lady in it.
That's the scariest kind of person. If they're wet, forget it.
Yeah, I agree.
That's Rusalka vibes.
And she was probably only wet because she couldn't see herself in the mirror. She was like, am I wet? I can't tell.
She's like, I'm going to look in the murky ponds.
Oh, okay. So I'm learning a lot about this movie I haven't seen.
Yeah, these are theories. Okay, should we move on to the next case?
Let's do it.
Yeah, I think someone could be really scary if they were dry, too. Like, if they had like really chapped lips. Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
And they're like coming in the room, they're like, do you have any chapstick?
Maybe if they're a child. A dry child is scary.
We'll call them Crumble.
Dry child? That is deeply unnatural. Man.
Did you see that new horror movie with Crumble Boy in it?
That kid was so thirsty.
The 9-year-old that needed Aquaphor. Okay. Helena H. writes, to the Supreme Crit Justices and the other one. Out.
Whoa, whoa. Not a bot.
Excuse me.
Confirmed not a bot.
I don't know. That was good. It could have been a bot. Confirmed it could have been a bot.
Yeah. May I present the case of the metagaming breakup?
Sounds like AI. Okay. Sorry, God.
Awesome. In the campaign I DM, one of my characters, Pin, has picked up a sweet but useless DMPC boyfriend, Herman.
Aww.
It's a party of three, so I wanted to round out the gang with a healer. He's a divine sorcerer, sex toy artificer. Long story.
Great.
Okay.
The characters have been dating for a few weeks in-game, and things were fine and cute until, to make running combat easier, I asked Pin's player if she could run Herman during a fight. At this point, she realized that Herman is two levels lower than the rest of the party and poorly optimized. In character, she started comparing him to her ex and said she felt she deserved someone way more powerful. She's basically dumping him because she metagame realized he was battling way out of his league by dating Pin. Is Pin's player right to have them break up because she looked at his character sheet? I made Herman to be a sad little lovable guy, and now his girlfriend has literally dragged him through hell in their adventuring party only to dump him because she found out he couldn't cast
a bless. Dumping someone in hell, bringing them to hell, and then dumping them before giving stats. Them a ride back.
Yeah.
You can find your way back, right?
Yeah. You have a Metro card, right? I guess, like, shout out to Pin for knowing her worth.
That's what I was going to say. Like, there is a stupid part of me that's like, I mean, you got to know your worth.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, it is funny.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
Herman can hang around, but, like, Pin doesn't have to date Herman. Like, Herman can still be the DMPC. It's maybe even funnier.
I was going to say it's fun. Like,
nicer, I think. As soon as you see someone's sheet with their stats on it, you shouldn't dump them right away.
It's like dating somebody and then you go see their band perform.
Exactly.
And you're like, oh no. But like, that's something that does happen. You know, you get to know somebody a little better and realize you don't like them.
But Ross and Rachel hung out for a long time after they broke up. And eventually they got back together.
This could be a Ross.
Spoilers for a TV show I'm never going to watch.
Exactly. No one's going to watch it. You can't. I forbid it.
I agree with Caldwell that it will be funny to kind of role play someone's ex being along, especially someone like...
honestly, this is a golden opportunity.
This is like part of what made Balinor so fun was how pathetic he was.
Yeah. And if him and like Moonshine just got together and had like a great relationship, Balinor and Moonshine would both be worse for it. A bad show.
Yeah. I'm thinking about that episode in Smuggler's Bounty where like there was some weird confusion about like whether Moonshine was into Balinor.
But then like she had to pretend to be into Balinor. She pretended to orgasm from kissing him to get out of an incubus and a succubus killing them.
But like if they had started dating after that episode, Balinor would have been like gone four episodes later. Yeah.
That would have been so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I think it's very easy to look at this and just be like, oh man, this is super mean, but it's also super funny.
Yeah.
And also it's not like, you know, Hermit's not a real guy. He's an NPC.
I think it's fair to make like the argument like that. Maybe you wish that she had seen it and then kind of role played watching him in battle and being kind of like, oh.
This is why you wait until after the vacation to have this conversation. Like,
they break up in the middle of hell. It's pretty normal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of stresses when you're on a vacation in hell.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we ultimately have to rule against Pin, right?
I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like it's Pin's choice, right?
I'm with Pin.
I was scared to say that I wanted to rule with Pin. So I floated the opposite because I was a coward.
Yeah. You baited us into having the right answer.
I knew if I said it, it would be... Yeah.
We would have all been like, whoa. No, women can't be that mean.
But I do think that, like, I don't think Pin gets to, like, trade up to a better DMPC. I feel like Herman sticks around.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to, like...
Yeah. We'll see. You know, Hermit is not owed love. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh my God, wow.
So true, right? So true.
Hey,
but it's mostly, I think it's the DM has a problem with is like the min-maxing aspect.
Yeah, and it is absolutely like correct.
Looking at the paper, I think that's the thing we need to consider is the idea of looking at the paper and just being like, I don't like Balinor
anymore.
Oh my God,
I just thought of a really, thought of a really funny thing. You can give Pin a taste of their own medicine by basically
So it's like you keep Herman around. This is fun. We're laughing at this.
Yeah.
But then like Pin can meet like someone who's like super powerful, and then they can maybe start a flirtation. But then they see Pin in battle, and they're like,
Oh wait, sorry.
That's true.
I actually gotta go.
Yeah.
Or have Herman just start dating someone else who's like one level above Pin.
That's cool. Herman can have a glow up.
I keep calling Herman. I keep calling Herman Hermit. It was Herman.
Herman. I heard Herman.
Herman. Okay.
It is Herman.
That makes sense. Yeah. Well,
as in Herman.
If you guys heard me keep saying Hermit, I was saying Herman.
I think
he was talking about another guy.
I was talking about a different guy. What are we talking about?
Yeah. Let's work with this. Herman meets a mysterious hermit in one of the layers of hell, and they start a little relationship.
I love it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. I would say, yeah, I think there's something wrong with like the min-maxing aspect of it. However, it does sound like you have from. Like, it's like Herman's a sex toy artificer. Like you guys are all joking around.
Yeah,
this is
all very
funny and everything. So I think this is all in line.
God.
And I think that, as we've said, this is a golden opportunity now to have this sad guy still kind of around.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's definitely like, imagine really the first time funnier. That he has to heal the person who dumped him because he wasn't powerful enough.
Just healing with a handshake.
Yeah.
I'm just a little upset that they stole Zerk's entire game for season 2 of Eldermorn with the sex toy artificer thing.
Yeah.
So I had like a lot of jokes planned.
Yeah. The fanny pack
for
gave you ideas.
For a campaign we already recorded.
It's all in the back. We just haven't decided to release it yet.
I said you could kill me, not my fanny pack.
Okay. Do we have a punishment? We're punishing the DM.
I think that's, yes, I think we are.
Feels bad.
I kind of don't know what to rule with here.
I don't want to punish anyone.
I think everything's great.
I think you're coming to us what you think is a thorn, but we think it's a bud.
This case is dismissed.
Dismiss it.
We can do that.
Yeah.
Well, like,
why not?
50 episodes into this, we can just dismiss one. Okay, great. I love it. Get out of here.
We're just gonna dismiss every case from now on.
Yeah, we just realized
why
we could do that.
On a case okay. So we can dismiss it.
I think we're ultimately, we're against the min-maxing aspect of it, but it does sound like you guys have kind of like a loose, fun game. And it also, from a role play aspect, it is funny to have a character be like, because you guys even have had that with Balnor and stuff where you'll be like, whoa, Balnor missed three times. Like, that's funny. Yeah. Like, that's all fun stuff.
It's like a light punishment for everyone because, like, the DM gets to keep their DMPC, but then Pin has to just deal with their ex being around all the time.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just keep on having fun, everybody.
Yeah.
I also like the idea of Pin meeting people who then kind of reject them because they're not high
enough. Certainly. Because you're in hell. You said there's so many hot demons
also,
down
there. Have Pin fight alongside a super powerful NPC and see how long they want to do that for.
Yeah. Herman could rebound with a devil and become like a super powerful a big bad.
Xavier's gonna action surge and then they're going to use this special ability that I've made solely for them where they cast fireball as a bonus action.
Damn.
Politely sitting and watching.
Case dismissed.
Yeah.
Case dismissed. Our first dismissal.
Our next case comes from Scootsby.
That's beautiful. Lord. That's beautiful. Must be an AI.
To the illustrious judges of the Supreme Crit and the bailiff who both sucks and rules until the judges collapse the quantum Jake form and let us
know.
That was gorgeous. That was awesome. AI.
A
written.
Robot couldn't make that.
Or is a robot the only thing that could?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I bring the case of the unteachable Kenku. Oh, wow. Speaking of AI. I had been in a campaign for a year, and my rogue had unfortunately died, but luckily we had the resources to reincarnate him. He was brought back as a Kenku, and my DM told me I could only communicate via mimicking sound. Because of the Kenku's vocal mimicry trait. This was a fun challenge for a bit, but it quickly became very tedious trying to remember what people had said recently to speak, and I was frequently asked how I was communicating things. The next time we were in town, I asked my DM if I could pay a town person to recite a bunch of individual syllables so I could Vocaloid Hatsune Miku style.
Hatsune Miku, yeah.
I figured you would correct me.
It's a good first try. She's the only AI we're okay with.
Speak robotically, but not only have to work so hard just to talk. He told me no. Ultimately, I ended up leaving the campaign because communication was so difficult. Should I have been allowed to learn how to speak, or was I just cuckoo for trying to weasel my way around this Kanku limitation?
It's wrong for so many reasons.
Yes, anytime someone it's just, there's fun lore in the books that's kind of just there to give flavor to the world.
Yeah.
And any time that actually takes away from someone's time at the table, I urge you to change it.
Yeah.
I urge you.
I could foresee a DM being like, hey, this is fun. Let's do it for a session. And you have it just like for one little session that you're playing around with the experience. And then next session they come up.
And you figured it out. Yeah. You have someone talk to you for a long time. You have like a speech coach, essentially. That's such a cool idea. Uh-huh.
This was an actual in-game solution.
Yes.
Yeah.
It seems perfect.
Yeah, like you have like an episode where you're like learning your new body.
Yeah.
And that's fun.
No, this seems really
fun. And you role play that for one episode. Then the next one you have an in-game solution. Hand wave, you spend 3 hours with a townsperson, you can speak now.
Excuse me, Jake, how are you talking right now? Like, let's settle this right now.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about any of the
actually,
story
crows
stuff.
Can't make glottal noises. Excuse me, sorry. Your tongue just doesn't work like that.
You try to say that, but I don't know how you did just say anything.
I do not understand the DM's instinct here because that's literally like the antithesis of collaboration.
There's there's a certain type of DM that just they
like hard
cannot
equals good.
Deviate from the book. Uh-huh. They cannot deviate from the book at all.
We call them Kobe DMs. They're raw.
Whoa. You know who actually does a good...
Thank you.
You know who does a good job of deviating from the book?
Who?
AI. What?
Are you trying to suck up?
Yeah, I am. Give me a job, guys.
You guys can't leave Ravenloft. I don't know what to do. If you guys go into the mist, I will TPK you. You have to talk to Strahd. No, don't attack him yet. You're not supposed to fight him.
It would be an honor to get TPK'd by
Wait. I forgot to take a legendary action last turn. He's supposed to have more HP.
Can we retcon that?
You can't put Strahd's head in the toilet. You can't do it.
Can we can't counterspell Strahd. Rewind. Let's take... I need 10. Let's take a bathroom break and get some snacks.
Okay, so we have to definitely sentence this.
Guys, DM. The books are there to help you. They're there to help you have fun, not to absolutely ruin everything. They're not there to ruin everything. You don't have to like look in a book and just be like, it says here that all owlbears fucking kill everybody as soon as they see them. You can have a nice owlbear in your game. That's fine. Like, you can just do that. Yeah. Believe it or not.
I'm going to check with Murphbot real quick.
Yeah. No, it says that all owlbears are chaotic neutral. You see, the owlbear attacks you. It has infinite HP. Oh, no. Oh. Oh, God, you've entangled it.
Oh, this is not working out. Hold on.
It has...
So you're doing a great job, Murphbot. Do you need Emily or I to get you anything?
Yes, chips.
I've never seen a robot sweat. Is that safe?
Hang on. I think it can get out of this entangle. I'll roll in front of the board. Oh, that's a 2. Wait, guys. I'm going to roll behind the board. Okay, he succeeded. He actually has advantage. I've knocked over my DM board. You saw that I rolled a 3. I actually have an explanation for that. I have an actual plus 12 to dex saving throw, so I hit a 15. Oh, I see your DC is actually 16. He has
saving face. Saving face.
He gets a plus 1. He had guidance. Wait, you can't do guidance on saving throws. Hang on. Let me check the DM's guide. Oh, I've spilled my cocoa all over my computer. That's where we'll end our session. Good job, everyone.
Guys, I just checked. Murphbot has been unplugged this whole time.
I need to go.
It's a miracle.
Wow. Do we come up with a punishment? I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
I think they have to play at a game with Murphbot.
That's a prize.
This person's no longer allowed to TM. They have to play with Murphbot.
You see, by Murphbot.
The Kanku cannot talk unless it hears stuff, which means it cannot use verbal components and cast spells. Oh, wait, you're a fighter. Wait, hang on. My bad guy actually has more HP than I said they had. Did I say the HP out loud?
Not everything has to be said out loud. You can have internal.
No, it's fine. Up there, go my notes. Everything.
Where's that strong wind coming from? Is it your processor?
It's getting
blowing your papers.
Is it getting hot in here for anyone else?
Cat sitting on the server.
So ordered, but I actually want to play in that game as well.
Yeah. You see a Tarrasque jumps down and kills the Kanku.
Shut up, Murphbot. Give us a long rest.
Okay. You guys can't sleep right now because you've slept within the past 23 hours, and it says in the book here that you need to have spent 24 hours before you can take another long rest.
Somebody put some hummus on Murphbot.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want, and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here. I'm recording this ad literally hours before going to the airport on a trip to visit some family in New York. And if you're wondering, no, I have not packed my bags yet. Packing stresses me the hell out because I have to do wardrobe math about how many shirts and pants and underwear to bring. And let me tell you, folks, I always get it wrong and I always pack too much. That being said, there is one thing that always goes into my suitcase without a second thought, and that is my Raycon Everyday Earbuds. Raycon offers amazing audio quality at half the price of other premium audio brands. And Raycon's optimized gel tips are designed to fit comfortably in your ears and actually stay there. Which is good because it means I can go on a jog and not worry about them falling out and getting sucked into a sewer grate. Although I guess that's probably how the Ninja Turtles get their earbuds, so if some mutant creature living in the sewer happens to get them, I guess that wouldn't be too bad. But thanks to Raycon, it's not something I ever even need to concern myself with. So if you're also going on a trip soon and are looking to bring along the perfect pair of earbuds, go to buyraycon.com/pawpaw today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That is right, you're going to get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's buyraycon.com/pawpaw. All right, thanks for listening and have a great trip. Bye-bye.
Okay, so actually I have, let's go into a brief recess because I have an update from Alexander K.
Wow.
Who is the person who had all of their players roll for their dinner. Okay, so Alexander K. writes, if it please the court, I have an update on the case of the Dicey Diet from the previous episode. Okay.
First off, I would like to commend this person for after being like roasted and attacked by us for writing back in. Yeah. I would like to commend their bravery.
We have some sense of humor to call it the Dicey really... Diet.
Now that it's called the Dicey Diet, I feel like I'm on board again.
Like
yeah.
Dicey Kudos to
after
you.
After you all took me to the Raspberry Patch. I DM'd my DM and asked to host the next session at my place. She was skeptical because we've only ever played at her house, but I mentioned I wanted to make amends for the food faux pas by cooking for everyone.
Aw, uh-oh.
She said she was fine with it if everyone else was, so I floated the idea to the group and everyone was fine with it, although I got razzed a bit more as expected. So I asked for everyone's Christmas dinner preferences before, and they showed up, which was a novel concept to me, and started planning the meal. What they didn't know was, in addition to making the meal, I was concocting another surprise.
Yes!
Oh my
yes!
God.
You're a troll!
I love you.
You're an absolute troll.
With RNGesus's blessing, I baked 40 mince pies. Not sure if they're common in America, but basically sweet little pies eaten around Christmas.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
with unique filling.
Oh, God.
I made 40, so there were two pies for each filling in case anyone rolled a number we'd already gotten.
Effort.
Some weren't too bad, containing unusual but sweet fillings like Nutella or marshmallows.
Oh, my God.
The lengths.
Yes. Yes.
The
yes.
And some were horrible, with fillings like baked beans, Marmite, or smushed Brussels sprouts. I used ice and sugar on the top of each pie to number them 1 to 20, from worst to best. And after dinner, I presented them to the group. The guy who rolled the nat 20 for his, quote, mid-meal last time got to roll once with advantage, and I rolled twice with disadvantage, landing me a sriracha prawn pie and a peanut butter and chili jam pie, which was actually pretty good.
That sounds great. Yeah,
actually, it does sound.
You came out on top.
Overall, they went down a lot better than a randomized meal, although I did find out in conversation that the DM had actually enjoyed the meal she got last session so much that she'd order it again since we played.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't all bad.
Success story in there.
And I got to give the group an adventurous food experience without making their meal malignant.
Oh, that's great. The levels of your energy,
effort you are willing to go to randomly feed food to your friends is incredible.
40 pies.
Yeah. I love it.
And they cook dinner.
Yeah,
so that's a lot of cooking.
This person is a folk hero.
Yeah.
Like, songs will be sung about them by me. I'm going to write a song. I'm going to learn
so
how to play the lute.
It's funny to get razzed for something and then do it again.
Yeah.
Just a
I truly love that energy.
There was a moment in the story where I was terrified that, like, they were going to take everyone's orders and then just randomly order again.
It's so
funny.
Say
you're going to do a home cooked meal and then everyone shows up and you give them the same thing they got from the Chinese.
Just save Chinese. Bland ass chicken and broccoli again.
You just press order again on that original order.
This rules. I feel like normally, you know, we as a court, we hand out punishments. I want to give you like a medal. Like award you like a golden die or something like that.
You are
this
the troll,
fantastic.
The troll with the golden heart.
Yeah. The golden troll award
golden
goes
troll
to you.
Golden troll.
I'm going to buy a troll doll and spray paint it and send it to you. Inside of a pie, of course.
Amazing.
We don't use pies as a masking technique enough. I feel like back medieval times, people were shoving birds in there. People were shoving like poisons. We're not putting random things in pies enough. And I think that's a failing as a civilization.
I do sometimes.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do.
What are you hiding there?
Really just like the straightforward, like, you know, actually chicken and broccoli sometimes.
Okay.
Or like buffalo chicken
or like a file so someone can get out of jail.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay, cool. Great. I use it to jailbreak people.
1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 222, Los Feliz, California, 90027. Please send us pies.
Don't do that.
don't
send
us
pies.
We can't.
We don't check it often enough. Yeah. I don't think we don't need pies.
It'll
send
rot.
Me a pie with an amiibo inside. I dare you.
Someone's gonna do it.
Person that's gonna have to be in a mail room with a bunch of rotting pies.
We're gonna get booted from the P.O. box.
Oh no!
It's gonna truly be a P.O. box. Right, Kang?
That's good.
Wait, you mean like P.U.?
Oh, damn. Yeah, that's absolutely what I meant.
Or P.O. like pissed off.
Yeah,
that's good
okay,
too.
Okay.
Murph fixed it. We fixed it.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. That's absolutely what I meant. You see, Balnor draws his sword and attacks the Tarrasque.
You guys, I'm gonna spend the rest of my day trying to find all these little AIs. I really want them to make me some stories.
We should do a one shot. We should definitely do a one shot with
that's
them.
That's a really fun idea. Yeah, if you know of any good generators, post them in the comments.
Please,
I guess.
Lord. Share.
Yeah, let us know.
Okay, amazing update.
Yeah.
Amazing
incredible.
Update.
First ever winner of the Golden Troll Award. And if you ever want to
creator of the
win,
Golden Troll.
If anyone else wants to win the Golden Troll Award, you have to have a golden heart. It has to be like this.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear anybody just like doing pranks.
Yeah.
It's got to be kind of baked into an apology.
Your prank's got to have heart.
It's got to be fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, this is the Golden Troll Award because it was also, like, a repentance. Yeah. Or, like, a redemption.
In fact, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and retire the Golden Troll Award. You are the first. And
you don't want anyone else submitting.
Because I don't want anyone else to try.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I secretly made another one. This is
just the one.
It's retired.
And we're going to we baked that one into a pie.
We're putting it behind glass. Your jersey has been retired.
Golden Troll.
The one and only Golden Troll winner.
Oh, wow.
Because, we simply cannot have everyone submitting now, trolling their friends.
No.
Okay, sweet. Why don't we close this out with a Dice Christ confessional, folks?
Right on. I love it. First of the year.
Yeah.
First of the year, huh?
Can robots believe in Dice Christ?
Yeah. Yes. Let me go ahead and roll in front of the table. Wait, that's a 2. Let me roll with advantage again. That's cocked. That's cocked, everyone. Don't look. Don't look.
Yeah, you can tell they don't.
I swear these are weighted. I swear. I haven't rolled above a freaking 8.
I like how Murphbot is just a cheat. He's panicking.
No,
cheating.
I'm not cheating. This is in the book.
You're cheating.
It says in the book that the DM is right and the book is always correct. How are you talking right now? You're a Kanku.
You're all Kankus.
You're all reincarnated as Kankus. You see, Balnor turns into a druid and reincarnates Hard One as a Kanku. He does not know the word Murphbot, so he cannot complain.
Come on, Murphbot.
No, you can't say that. You're a Kanku.
Murphbot, we left the room.
You're not allowed to talk, Caldwell.
You're not even calling him Beverly.
Beverly is dead, Caldwell. Mate, roll a Kanku. Roll a new Kanku, Caldwell.
400 years in the future, this is the only vestige of humanity left.
It's a new baby Kanku. No one has ever talked to it.
We record the session, send it into the stars. Alien civilizations are like, I guess Dungeons and Dragons is just one robot having a panic attack.
There's a new Caldwell's new character is a baby Kanku. He has an NPC that takes care of him and just says, Murphbot, you're doing a really good job. You're doing a really good job, Murphbot. So that's all you can say now.
Wow, I don't think we should harvest this planet for resources. It's too beautiful.
Oh my God. Right, okay. Daniel B. Daniel B. writes, I live in Australia. Shout out to Australia shows.
Ooh. Yeah.
I live in Australia where we use the metric system, meters, kilograms, etc. Fifth edition uses the imperial system.
Yeah, right, you do. Shut up.
Feet, pounds, etc.
You don't want this fight.
I don't believe it.
Caldwell, back down. You're going to regret this.
Caldwell, please.
You measure thing with bugs.
Oh, my God. My Beastmaster Ranger got access to a broom of flying, which has a carrying capacity of 400 pounds. I read that as 400 kilograms, which is roughly 880 pounds, more than doubling its carrying capacity. With this miscalculation, I got my party out of many sticky situations by carrying them all on my broom at once. It has been 3 years, and I still think about this. Will Dice Christ forgive me for accidentally doubling the power of my flying broom due to a Down Under blunder? May the Lord have mercy on my soul.
Love it, Down Under blunder. I think that you're not in the wrong.
Yeah.
Down Wizards of the Coast shoulders for not putting out Dungeon Master guides in
the metric system.
That's
so weird that they don't do that.
Yeah, I will say, Dice Christ understands that you're going to make mistakes at the table, and then those mistakes just become rules. It's weird for you to like set precedent in like role play and everything of being like, oh, we all fly together on this broom or on this dragon or something like that. And then after having like an iconic moment a few sessions later being like, you can't.
It makes total sense to me. It's like, this is an Australian broom. They're stronger.
There you go.
And you, honestly, you were acting under what you thought was the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So forgiven.
I've seen the wildlife in Australia. It's weird and strong. And so are the brooms.
The brooms down there are just stronger and bigger. I agree.
Stronger, bigger.
Yeah, you know what? We're going to keep this trend going and just say confession dismissed.
Confession dismissed.
You're good.
Get out of here.
Throw it out.
take your huge buff broom and get out of here.
You got an awesome, yeah, this is a special broom.
Oh, can you imagine riding a broom with muscles?
Yeah.
We will when we go to Australia.
Oh, that's how we're going to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. They're made of the same material that the inside of a kangaroo's pouch is. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I like picture it being like,
it's just like squelching a lot.
Or just like the leg of a tarantula. Yeah.
You never read a strong broom before?
My three fire giant DMPCs escape on a broom, and it's a super strong one. Don't look at the book. Don't look at the book.
All right. So ordered. So
So dismissed.
So dismissed. Yeah.
Dismissed.
And so forgiven. And with that,
forgiven and dismissed.
And wrapped. Forgiven and dismissed. Thank you all so much for listening. You can head on over to our Patreon for some bonus cases. That's patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't you dare do it.
Sorry.
We are.
Does anybody have anything they'd like to plug?
I touched on it during that question, but we have some live shows in Australia. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I haven't gotten the updated ticket counts, but I believe they're selling fast. So get yours now. There's also a couple tickets left to the live dungeon court that we're doing in Boston.
Mm. Yeah. Ooh. Snag those
very soon. Maybe some like 2 weeks.
Tickets in Philly as well.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Oh, they released. Left, yeah, they released a few extra tickets in Philly. So there's
and
some opportunities.
Merch aunts are gonna be there. So.
That's true. Wow.
If you want to hear they, some,
are they yaunts?
Rowdy. There's some rowdy yaunts in the audience.
Some rowdy yaunts.
I cannot wait. Nadpod.com/live to see us in Australia or see Murph's yaunts.
Murph's 22-year-old yaunts. We got a couple of things sent to the P.O. Box, which weren't pies. Disappointing, but I'll read them out anyway.
Don't send us pies.
Don't send us pies.
We'll throw them out.
Just one pie.
Nope, don't do it. You'll just make a male person very upset.
You know what? I'm bringing back the golden troll.
Yeah,
I'm bringing back the golden troll award.
It's retired.
She smashed the glass, Murphbot. Yeah.
You can't smash the glass. It's super strong. It has AC 25. Oh, you rolled a 26. It casts shield. It can do that. You can't see my character sheet. Whoops. You saw it.
Your character sheet is just a bunch of affirmations like, you can do it, Murphbot.
You can do this, Murphbot.
They're not working.
I want to try and hook up with the glass. Roll a charisma check.
Okay, yeah, but it's going to be super hard. Like, you have to roll a 22.
Roll a 27.
I also crit to hook up with the glass.
Okay, the glass is so horny for you. You see that the glass thinks you are really hot and has human sex with you.
Does anyone else think that Murphbot like just doesn't understand what D&D is? You can't hook up with glass, dude.
Okay. Let's pivot.
Okay, to the PU box.
Yeah. Ooh, that stinky. We got some just some stinky offerings. Stinky with good fortune and generosity. Matt S. sent us 3 copies of All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Thank you so much.
So we can all watch it.
Yeah, we can all
houses.
Watch them separately. However, only one of them is a Blu-ray, so somebody's getting that Christmas.
Mervin, I get the Blu-ray.
That's
Mervin, I get the Blu-ray.
That's all me. I'm the DM.
And then let's see. Nicholas Y. sent us stickers featuring a drawing I did of Jake holding a Sure sticker.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
A sticker of a sticker, yeah.
Yeah, it's really great. It's super meta. I love it. It is for sure going on my notebook.
Ooh, nice.
Very good.
Thank you, Murphbot.
But you are a Kanku. You can't talk.
Eli G. invited us to their 28th birthday party, Pathfinder One-Shot.
Whoa.
Sadly, nice. It has already happened. We're sorry we couldn't make it, but hope everyone had a nice time, and we'll be there for your 29th. Guaranteed. Greta sent us 4 postcards of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as samurai. It is so dope. I have already claimed dibs on Michelangelo. Thank you so much, Greta.
You can have them. I'm a Leonardo guy.
Raphael, dude.
I'm whoever is left over.
Donatello.
Yeah. I feel like Murphbot would be Donatello, so you're going to have to fight him for it.
I get to play all 4.
I'll play Bebop.
Oh, good call. Sydney O. Sent Emily a copy of the book Babel, the new book from RF Kuang.
Oh, thank you!
Been hearing good stuff about that.
Do you know the fun thing is I'm pretty sure Mike Trapp's wife edited one of R.F. Kuang's books.
Yeah.
And I believe she also might have copy edited this one as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So keeping it in the fam.
Thank you. Thank you, Trapp family. Oh, big ups to Casey and Heather for their nups. They also sent me an Olaf keychain with the eyes blacked out.
Olaf is dead.
So yeah, Olaf had to die so that they could get married.
I'm just picturing you passing off those keys to a dog walker.
Hey, here you go. She walks for about like 30 minutes a day. And this is a reminder that Olaf died once.
And he shouldn't have come back, the cowards.
And finally, Colin G sent us some 3D printed fridge magnets of the NADPOD campaign logos. Cool. My fridge isn't magnetic, so I'm putting them on my laptop instead. Thank you.
Put them on MurfBot.
Wait. Oh. Oh, my screen just blacked out. I lost my notes. It's okay. We could just improvise.
Yes, we're all level 20 now.
Oh, no. Oh, you see the goblins run. They don't want to fight or talk.
And that is all from our P.O. Box, 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 222, Los Feliz, California, 90027. Don't send us pies. Maybe
please
do.
Don't send us pies. Sweet. Thank you all so much for listening. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use at TSMurfsMe, at Caldus Caldwell, at Astrid's Emily, and at Jake Hurts is Jake. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation. Dungeon.
It's the end of the episode, which means it's time to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders. Let's get right to it. Brad D, Jeffrey S, UC, Later McSkater, Matt M, Jordan DJ, Cutter W, Liv A, Daniel G, The J-Pod, Dylan B, the silent crit justice who secretly thinks the bailiff is a cool guy. Debatable. Dungeon Mama, parentheses, not sexual. Danielle, the dastardly dame. Beardman Dan, Danny P, Vincent W, Victor T, a.k.a. Balnor's Boy, Dominic P, Justin I, Ragnar Ferdwind, DJ M, Trele, The Cray, Christopher B, Damiel R, cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, cousin of MurfBot, Murph being cucked by Sonic the Hedgehog, more likely to happen than you might think, Richard X Machina, Michael L, Jack L, Sam L, Nicholas C, has starred in every single film ever made in Bohemia, Tickets Bought, Can't Wait to See Y'all Down Under in Perth, all right, see you then, Mike H, Matthew E, Great Value Gemma, Adam G, Tyler F, Panama James, Andrew the Bard, nope, sorry, just Andrew the Druid here, Haradrian, Rex Daniel, the White, Captain Sigil, Diana De Los Lopez, CC Lulu, Hercule Poirot, the Rabbit Fog Detective, Timmy R, Lucas B, Reiko, It's Kevin, Calder's Cold Cum, hashtag rise my comrades, spread my camaraderie. Patrick O, Taylor B, the Vengeful One-Winged Angel, Cass, Skateboard Cass, Captain of the Stevens, Stephen Cole, Mike K, Lady Taco, Brian G, Joy T, Nara, Jake L, Nick W, Brave the Badger, Esme M, Foster the Boneless Duck, thanking the two crew for coming down under. You are so welcome. Thank you for carrying all of our potions. William W, Aaron the Asshole Ranger, Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Eric McD, Ananarama, Ars Goisha, King of the 72 Demon God Pillars. Good for you. Power Surge of Bohemia, hide your robot butlers, hide your hot plates. Yikes. Jay Dragonborn, Joe Rowe the Inapropro, The Sandrean, Ben A, Feldonis, John the Third, Dave H, Vivian, Koala Bear, Catherine S., David K., Christian S., Dustin S., Connor F., Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's assistant, Izzy F., Gaga Gigo Jr., Marky Mark, the Marvelous Mining Engineer, Kat C., Kelsey, Misa of House in Zunza, Ariel, the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N., a.k.a. Velaciraptor, B. Perky Always, Pat L., Lauren H., Talia, Ryan S., the Bone Duster, Robot Crisps, Telekitty Creations fan illustrator, insert request here. Oh, it's gotta be Murphbot. No doubt about it. Thank you. Ploops. Carly Ann. Suicidal Lobster. Addie K. AP Cleric. Spam Gaming, who's just a raccoon that has a gun. Sometimes that's all you need. Connor S. Russell H. Christopher J. Pebblepot. To the Do-Riders, my first D&D party. May all our adventures be wondrous. Thank you for being my friends. Get after it, Do-Riders. Salil, Leviathan, BioQuirt 7, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H, Jack Hubert, Crabster Champion of Crod, Scuttling Sideways, Towards Tomorrow. We salute you with our giant claw hands. Fanderay, Garble the Moist, Lindsay W, Juicy Kiwi, Layla and Cass, here's to the next possum year. Aw, happy 2023 to you as well. Valen, Carlin C, Emily S., Harry Cox, Noah, the bagel of all things, Everything Bago, the Eladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger, Stripey, Laura, Dandy, Eric B., Marcos P., Jordan P., the occasional crit reporter, Lernst, the balanced druid, Dayton M., Dakota James P., Frida M., Pagos, betrothed self-proclaimed Fae Prince, Tracy P., the crick elf librarian, Andy E., Holly Hyena, Kristen Z, the I will use what you love against you DM, Leia C, Paige H, Helen Abriz, May B, Pixel Stars, Akash T, Timothy H, Kristen with a K, Cal, just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, yes, the whole thing, yes, every time, Neos, the novice monster hunter, and Simon, rolling death saves in Dreamland. Has anyone heard his story in the shoutouts? Can you find him before a nat one? Oh, please help Simon. P. Trick Thor's dad. Lorelei the succubus and Kyra, her busty queen. Michael, the Esri pop idol. Morgan M., appealing sticker. Stephen E., Andrew and Sid of the Valley. John Adams, yes, like the president. Wow. Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia. James F., Cap'n Cappy. M4L, wayfarer now trapped in the Feywild after not fully reading the terms and conditions of their legal settlement with Mothership. That will happen. Andrew B., Sir Smut. Barpo Goodbarrel, barbarian and brewer emeritus of Waterdeep. Mary Beth C., Melora, devotee. Pindergreen's bodyguards, codpiece. Welshlander. Garrett G, a.k.a. One Big Curd, Mr. D, Dana Daisy, Sean J, Ethan B, Renee, the Monster Captain, Hop, the Dancing Rabbit, Hope's Dagger, the Only Dagger of Hope, Olivia, the Enchanting Bard, who will totally be making money and a grand novel off the Duck Team Tales with an on-the-go, all-the-stop show, Winter Slade, Michaela R, Riley S, Fico, Angry Wheat, the game itself just trying to find himself. Tony G, Corbo's Calamitous Cumshot, hashtag CCC forever, sorry Jake. Josh H, Jack the Jack's Jinxing Rogue on the run with Bohemia's balls. Mango Empanadas, James B, Trogdor, the Burninator, Clementine T, Caleb L, this message has been brought to you by fairies in support of hashtag CCC. Alex R. Cantrip Dumbledore, the bear onesie-wearing barbarian with a bad back. Papa Wookie. MJ, the BFG drinking tea by the sea. Dogs of Babel. Kelvia Silverfang. Gino T. Mama B. The Silver Serpent herself. Funir. Strawman. 18 Wheels, Rubber and Steel. Dr. Tolkis, Tiz the Great, Derek D, Tristan G, Cal's Corporate Corruption, hashtag CCC for life, Leon Lightning, Jazzman and Fam, Architects of Pindergreen's Sick Plans, David N, and Alpha Fortress. Woo! That is all of our elders. Thank you all so, so much for your incredible support. If you would like to join this illustrious circle, you can do so by going to patreon.com/nadpod. Thank you all so, so much for listening. We really appreciate it, and we will see you again next week. Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.